I had thought about doing something a little different. Brother Barry, I'll give you a candy cane back at the end of service. Amen, brother. Revelation 22 and 16, and I'm not going to launch out into a study of the book of the Revelation, so y'all take a breath there. I just want to use something where the Lord Jesus titles himself, and it's interesting that you sung that song, because y'all know I prefer to preach. Just pick a passage of Scripture and kind of expound on that, but I'm going, with the Lord's help, I'm going to preach on O Beautiful Star. Now, me and Miss Natalie and Brother Barry didn't talk before service or nothing, so I appreciate that, and I like how the Lord uses little things to sort of confirm stuff for us in our heart. Verse number 16, Revelation 22, the Bible says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Amen. He titled himself the bright and the morning star. Father, in your holy name I come, and as humbly as I know how, Lord, I ask you to help me preach. Lord, give me the right words to say. Use me, Father, to preach in your power and in your ability. Thank you, Lord, for those that have come out here tonight to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. I pray, God, that you would help them. Pray that you would carry us through this week. Be back here with us, Lord, please, on Christmas night. Allow us, Lord, to have a good time then. Lord, I pray that you'll watch over and protect all of those that are traveling this week. And Lord, I pray that you'll watch over and protect all those that go from place to place and from house to house. I pray, Lord, that peace would ensue. And Lord, we would hear of good things. Lord, I pray that you would work mightily. Lord, have your will and your way here at Gateway. Use me, Father, as a willing vessel. Forgive me of my many sins, many shortcomings where I failed you. In Jesus' name, amen. I already stated that I wanted to preach to you tonight on this thought, O beautiful star. Now, I've looked up in the sky at nighttime, and I've marveled at God's impressive universe. Maybe that's something that doesn't amaze you, but boy, when it gets cold like this and it gets clear outside, you can go out and look up in the night sky, and man, there ain't no lights, there's no ambient light around, and it is just flat beautiful, the things that God has created, these little lesser lights that twinkle and shine, and they're beautiful. Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but this spiral-shaped galaxy that we live in, known as the Milky Way, is estimated to contain more than 100 billion of those little beautiful twinkling lights that the Lord allows us to see that we call stars. And just a small portion is visible to the human eye. There's much more than what we can see, but that little portion that is visible, it delights us and it fills our mind with wonder and amazement. And if it doesn't, it should. Looking out at the stars and not feeling yourself as small and insignificant, maybe you need to take a check on what you're looking at, amen, to realize that God keeps all of that going. He keeps all the stars twinkling and shining the way that they should. He tells the sun when to rise. He tells the sun when to set. He's there at the rising of the sun to going down to the same. He's God Almighty, amen. But He is Himself, not just the controller of those things. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But He is the beautiful star. And these stars, they've been grouped into constellations and they've been given names. They're recorded from hundreds of years ago. They've been used for navigation and out on the ocean. That was all that they had. They didn't have the modern GPS system. Every time I go for a run, man, I click my watch and that thing, GPS starts tracking me, and I've got a perfectly outlined map of where I ran, and that's amazing, the global positioning systems that we have. But in times past, they didn't have that. And so they would look to the night sky, and they would find a certain constellation, and they would navigate off of where those constellations are, and those constellations remain the same until this day. That lets us know that God's an unchanging God. Amen. Now we now hold in the palm of our hand the capabilities to learn in minutes what it took astronomers years to study and compile. I've got an app on my phone that I can pull up, and depending on where I'm standing, you can hold it up in the sky and it will tell you the name of each constellation of the star, and it's pretty incredible to learn about that stuff and to study that stuff. And while these scientific findings are incredible and they amaze me, they are not near as great as the beautiful star that I have the privilege of preaching about tonight. Amen. Thank God for this wonderful star. See, this star, it made the other stars. Amen. Genesis 1 and verse number 16 said, "And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." Amen. Y'all remember this morning, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Amen. So here in the beginning, when He created those two great lights, and the lesser light for night and the greater light for day, and then the Bible wisely said He made the stars also. Amen. He set all those things into motion and keeps them twinkling till this day. This star, it commands the sun and controls the stars. Job 9:7 says, "Which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars." This star knows the name and the number of all the other stars. Scientists estimate over 100 billion. The Lord knows each and every one of them and calls them all by name. Prove it to me from the Bible, preacher. Be glad to. Psalm 147, verse number 4, "He telleth the number of the stars, and He calleth them all by their names." Amen. See, when we study the Word of God, we realize that the omniscient God that we serve is the God that knows the number of the stars. By the way, if He knows the hairs of our head, then surely He knows the stars in the sky, and He's able to meet the need of every living creature that ever has been or ever will be. See, this star, is proclaimed by other stars. Psalms 19, verses 1 through 3, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." I'm talking about the star of all stars, the King of stars, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega, Jesus, the beautiful star. Y'all okay? I know we just sung a song about it, but would you get excited about Jesus? Amen. We've got something to be excited about. We've got something to be happy about. This beautiful star that we serve, that we know, that's the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. First off, let me give you this. He is the promise foreseen. He's the promise foreseen. By the way, these points will be alliterated, so y'all, those that are taking notes, y'all can keep up easy. Are y'all okay? Good night, man. Are y'all happy? Will you tell your face? Amen. He is the promise foreseen. Numbers chapter number 24, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, "He hath said, which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth." This star out of Jacob is Jesus. But this that I just read to you, this promise, is in the story of Balak, the king of Moab, who had asked God's man Balaam. Y'all remember when the donkey spake? Y'all remember that? In the word of... Do y'all remember that? I know that I've preached on that. That donkey spoke, and we know, I don't need to wander off into that, but this is in the midst of that story when Balak wanted Balaam to prophesy against Israel and God would not speak against his people. Amen. Three times God blesses Israel through the mouth of Balaam, and on that third time he mentions the coming Savior and calls him the star. If you go back there to the book of Numbers, you'll find that that word star is capitalized there. It denotes deity. It's talking about someone. Isaiah 7 verses 12 through 15 says, But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse evil and to choose good. Thank God for the promise that was foreseen by the Israelite prophets. And we as children of God now who've been adopted, been grafted in, we know him as Lord and Savior. Here's the prophecy of that. Isaiah 9:6-8. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I guess what I like so much about that. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. Is see, the Lord doesn't change the way he words things much. Because when the angels came and told the shepherds, they said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'm glad that I serve the unchanging, never ending, always lighting star of Bethlehem. Amen. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word into Jacob and it had lighted upon Israel. Thank God for the promise of this beautiful star that would change the world. I think that's one of the most interesting things. If you consider the Word of God long enough and you pray about it and study the Word of God, you will find the connection in the Word of God where Jesus is prophesied and to see the prophecies fulfilled. Yes. God is a man of His Word. He always has been. He always will be. He is. This beautiful star is the prophecy fulfilled. Matthew chapter 1. Verses 18 through 23, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. So here's the fulfillment of it. Matthew chapter number 2. That's the wrong one, Josh. That's where you preached this morning. Matthew 2 and verse number 1. I'm going to read all down through verse number 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his, what's that next word? What is that? A star. Y'all just ain't participating tonight. Y'all making this interactive preaching hard. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his. That's a whole lot better there. In the east, and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the... star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Those wise men went back a different way. They were never the same after they saw the star. Thank God, not only was the prophecy of his birth fulfilled, but his life and death too. Isaiah 53 verses 2 through 6 said, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did him esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I guess one of my favorite things about this passage of Scripture is the Bible says in verse number 5 that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Do you understand the significance of that? A wound is something you see on the outside, and a bruise happens internally. He took care of both our outward sin and our inward sin. He was wounded and bruised so that he could take care of both our outward sin that everyone sees and our inward sin that we think nobody knows about. Thank God for the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. All four Gospels point to his sinless life, his vicarious death, his victorious resurrection. Acts points to his valiant ascension. He is seated at the right hand of the Father right now making intercession for you and I. There is no greater point that we could explain to you other than Jesus is alive and well. This beautiful star, last one, he's preaching facilitated. See, PF, all the way through. Hey, it takes a lot of thinking. You do about 150 of these a year, and you go, wow, thank you, Lord, for giving me that and allowing my mind to still connect. 2 Peter 1:19 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. We have a sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. There's no greater message to proclaim than Jesus saves, Jesus saves. We have churches all across America that are picking topics to preach on when the greatest topic is Jesus Christ. No greater message. All the facilitated needs that we have of preaching, we cannot exhaust preaching about Jesus. Everything that we need for preaching is with Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:17 and 18, the great apostle said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:23 and 24 said, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." When I was younger, I would put something nice together, a nice word salad in an outline form, and I'd lay it down in front of me and I'd say, "God, just give me your power." I wanted to take my words and let God put his power on my words. Here's what I found out. That don't work. But as I grew and I learned that God blesses his word, not my word, but his words, and I realized something, that if I wanted the power of God while I was preaching, and I wanted the power of God in the church, and I wanted the power of God in the Sunday school classes, and I wanted the power of God in my home, then I had to exalt and preach the Word of God. And the reason that is because, "But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." He is the sure word that we're preaching. He is the sure prophecy. And if I want his power in my life, I must exalt his word and not mine. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5, "And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech, of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Could you imagine if all the preaching just went back to Jesus came, lived a sinless life, died a horrible death, rose again victorious, so that you could be saved, so that God would be glorified? Oh, we might just see revival in America. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Our faith should never stand in our wisdom or in anybody else's wisdom, but in the Lord and in the Lord alone. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Don't put your faith and your trust in me. I will let you down. I will drop the ball. Matter of fact, I probably already have. I will fail. I will falter. I will fall to the side. Don't put your faith in me. Put your faith in him. Not to mention, just in case you don't know this, I cannot save you. Josh Agin has no ability to save you. I can't do it. I'm not going to try and do it. But I know a perfect star, a beautiful star, that has the power and the ability to save your life, to save you right where you are. This beautiful star is willing and ready to save. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for giving me the privilege to preach once again. Lord, I pray that you have been glorified tonight. Lord, I thank you. I just thank you for you being you. Lord, if there been anyone under the sounds of my voice that could need you, or does need you, Lord, I pray that they would turn to you right now. Lord, I pray if there be anyone that's lost and undone that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, Lord, that they wouldn't put their faith and trust in a church, in a religious practice. but in the relationship with you and in you alone. Lord, would you move, have your own will in your own way. Help in this time, in Jesus' name.